Today, we are going to be looking at Psalm 22, looking at the question, where is God when we are hurting? But first of all, go ahead. What is a psalm? Who remembers? Who can tell us? Yes. It has verses.
It's like a song.
It's like a song, like the songs we were singing. But it's a song that we don't really know the music, but we do know the words, and so we can read these special songs that are written in the Bible, the Book of Psalms. So today, if you'll go on, who wrote many of the psalms in the Bible? Not all of them, but many of them, including the one we'll look at today. Ian.
David,
yes. So he was a shepherd, and he probably had a lot of time to sing and make up some songs. So, Andrew, would you go to Psalm 22? Where is God when we are hurting? You know, all of us go through difficult times, and I bet David did as well. Even though, let's look at our next picture, David was a person who had something very special happen to him when he was just a young man. Maybe like some of you. He was just a young person and something special happened to him. Levi, looking at the picture, what can you tell us happened to him? Yeah. You see the person right here, Samuel, is anointing him, pouring oil on his head. Now, that'd be kind of messy for your hairdo, but that was something very special. It meant that they were going to be king. And wow, that's really special. David had a special calling from God. But that didn't mean that life was going to be easy for him. David went through many difficulties. Who can tell me one of the difficulties David went through? Maybe you've heard about David's life before. Isaac, can you tell us a difficulty he had? Something hard that he experienced.
Running away from Saul.
Yeah. There already was a king when he was anointed to be the next king. And he didn't want to take over, but that king wanted to kill him. He had to run away. And then after he became king, there were still other problems.
War.
There was war. He had to fight a lot of battles. And even one of his own sons led a rebellion against him. And he had to flee the capital city. He had a lot of problems. And so let's take a look at what David writes here in Psalm 22. My God, why have you forsaken me? Why are you so far from saving me from the words of my groaning? Oh, my God, I cry by day, but you do not answer, and by night, but I find no rest. Now, usually when we pray in church, we don't pray exactly like this. You know, I don't think I've ever heard someone when they're asked to pray at church, they pray, you know, with words like this. David is writing words that kind of surprise us. They're kind of shocking. I mean, he's saying, God, why have you left me? Why aren't you helping me? I'm calling to you in the day, in the night, but you aren't listening to me. You don't answer me. Why? You know, sometimes we wonder that when we are going through a hard time. We say, where is God? Well, this psalm deals with some of those hard questions. And, you know, I think David might be speaking from his heart here, but the fulfillment of this psalm isn't found in the life of David, but is pointing toward another king, the Messiah, the life of Jesus. Well, let's continue reading and see how this what David wrote was fulfilled in what Jesus experienced. So I think, you know, David was writing this, but the fulfillment is not in David, but in Jesus. Look at these words. Yet you are holy, enthroned on the praises of Israel. In you our fathers trusted. They trusted and you delivered them. To you they cried and were rescued. In you they trusted and were not put to shame. Here we see some important things. First of all, we see that God is holy. And we need to remember that when we're going through a difficult time. Maybe a time when we might not say it out loud, but in our heart, we are asking the question, where is God? This is really a hard time. We need to remember God is holy. And that There were people in the past who trusted God. They also went through hard times, and God helped them. They cried to God, and they were rescued. Sometimes we go through a hard time, and we feel like we're the only one. But if we remember all the faithful people in the past that we read about in the Bible, who have gone through really difficult things, not just David, but who are some other people you have learned about in the Bible who have really gone through some hard times? And God helped them. God either rescued them from the problem, or God gave them the grace they needed to go through the problem. Isaac?
Abraham
went through some difficult things. He had to leave everything that was familiar and go to a place he had never been before. Andrew? Jesus. And we're going to be talking about him.
Noah
went through some hard things. Imagine building the ark for years and years. I'm sure people made fun of him. And what about Daniel? You guys remember him? What happened to him? Remember, he was put in a den with some fierce animals. You guys remember what animals they were? Levi? Lions, in the lion's den. We can remember the people in the past who trusted in God. Well, let's keep on reading here. Verse 6. But I am a worm and not a man. Now, this is speaking figuratively, not literally. He's not saying literally he's a worm. But he's just saying that people are treating him really, really bad. I mean, people do bad things to worms? They do. You know, they put them on a hook and throw it out to the fish. That's really bad. I am a worm and not a man, scorned by mankind and despised by the people. All who see me mock me. What does it mean to mock someone? That doesn't feel good. Maybe you've had people do this to you. What does it mean? Yeah, they say it in that funny kind of voice. What are they doing? They're mimicking you. Very good. That's a good word. They want to make fun of you and make everybody laugh at you. And so that's what these people were doing. All who see me mock me. They make mouths at me. They wag their heads. Jordan gave us a good impression of that, how that might sound. He trusts in the Lord. Let him deliver him. Let him rescue him, for he delights in him. Well, you know what? This might have happened at one time to David, but this also happened to Jesus. Let's see how this was fulfilled, Andrew. Matthew 27. This is when Jesus was being killed by his own people had rejected him, turned him over to the Romans, and they then executed him by crucifying him. And look at what it says. So also the chief priests with the scribes and elders, these are the leaders of their people, mocked him. The leaders, you know, who normally are so dignified, they're doing that. They're making fun of Jesus. What are they saying? He saved others. He cannot save himself. He is the King of Israel. Let him come down now from the cross, and we will believe in him. Can you just hear how they probably said that? He trusts in God. Let God deliver him now if he desires him. For he said, I am the Son of God. Do you see how this almost is similar to what it says in Psalm 22. He trusts in God. Let God deliver him. Well, let's go on. Looking back at Psalm 22. I am poured out like water, and all my bones are out of joint. Now, this sounds really painful, what is being described here. Try to picture what this sounds like. My heart is like wax. It is melted within my breast. My strength is dried up like a potsherd, and my tongue sticks to my jaws. you lay me in the dust of death. This sounds really painful, to be poured out like water, all your bones be out of joint. I've heard of people having a bone out of joint, and it seems really painful. I can't imagine having all my bones out of joint. Wow. You know, like if you pulled it so hard it was out of joint, ooh, that would hurt. Well, Andrew, would you change the slide for us? When Jesus was crucified, that was a very, very painful thing. In fact, it probably did pull some of his bones out of joint, hanging from his hands like that. And what did they do to attach him to the cross? What did they do so that he would not fall off? Do you know? They used big nails, not like little nails, no, big nails. That was really painful. And in fact, we have the word excruciating. When we want to describe something that's really, really painful, that word means from the cross. Being crucified was something very painful. Well, look at this next line here and what it says. For dogs encompass me. Again, this is speaking figuratively. I don't know if there were any dogs here, but the people were kind of acting like it. Well, acting like animals. A company of evildoers encircles me. They have pierced my hands and feet. I can count all my bones. They stare and gloat over me. Now, again, David is writing this. But although David went through some really hard times, how was this fulfilled? Not in David's life, but in Jesus' life, when he was crucified. They pierced his hands, they pierced his feet, and you could see his bones as he hung there, I'm sure. They say that when a person is crucified, it's very difficult for them to breathe. Those hands that have been pierced, they have to pull up in order to breathe. Every breath is painful, is agony for them. This was a very painful way to die. And that might make us ask the question, why? Why did this happen to Jesus? Why did Jesus allow them to do this? Because he could have done something about it. He could have called for angels from heaven to deliver him. But he didn't. Well, let's keep on looking. Andrew, look at this verse now. They divide my garments among them, and for my clothing they cast lots. I don't know that that ever happened to David, but it certainly happened to Jesus. Because look at what it says in John. In the book of John, talking about the crucifixion, when the soldiers had crucified Jesus, they took his garments and divided them into four parts. One part for each soldier. Can you imagine someone taking your clothes and saying, hey, you get this and you get this. Here, you can have his socks. You can have his shoes. That'd be terrible. But the tunic was seamless. Jesus had this tunic like a robe. It was really nice. Didn't have a seam, woven in one piece from top to bottom. So they said one to another, let us not tear it. You know, what good would it be if you tore it into four pieces, one for each soldier? But cast lots for it. What does it mean to cast lots for something? Do you know what that means?
Like take it?
No? Do you know what it means?
Gamble.
They were gambling, you know, like they had some dice. You know, who's going to roll the biggest, highest number? Oh, I got a one. And then Scarlet, she rolls. Ooh, I got a six. I think I'm going to win. And then Jordan rolls. He gets a six, too. And so then they have to roll again to see who gets the highest number. They were doing that. They were making a game out of gambling for Jesus' clothes. Now, is that disrespectful or what? That is very disrespectful. But this was to fulfill the scripture, which says they divided my garments among them and for my clothing they cast lots. So the soldiers did these things. This happened exactly as it was written in the scripture. What's amazing to me is that David wrote these things, was it like a short time before Jesus? Or a long time before Jesus? A very long time. We're talking hundreds of years. 1,000 years before Jesus was born, David wrote this. And the soldiers, do you think they ever read this? Do you think the soldiers knew about what David wrote? Do you think the soldiers maybe read through the book of Psalms when they were, before they went to bed? I don't think so. They didn't even know about it, but they fulfilled what Scripture said, not even knowing about it. God knew about it. And so when he inspired David to write this, he included that in this psalm. That's pretty amazing. Well, let's take a look now. Andrew, go ahead. During the crucifixion, toward the end, this is what Jesus said. And about the ninth hour, Jesus cried out with a loud voice, saying, "Eli, Eli, lema sabachthani," that is, my God, why have you forsaken me?" That was what we read at the very beginning of the psalm. Jesus quoted from Psalm 22. Now, I have a few questions for you. Do you think Jesus knew Psalm 22? I don't think the soldiers knew Psalm 22. But do you think Jesus knew Psalm 22? He probably had the entire psalm memorized. I think he knew all about it. Now, here's another question. Do you think he really felt forsaken by God? Now, he said these words. Do you think he really felt that way, or was he just quoting it? I think he really felt that way. Did God really forsake him? Did God turn his back on Jesus? That's a hard question. But many people say yes for this reason. Because like Psalm 22 says, God is holy. But we have all sinned. And when Jesus was on the cross, he was dying for us. He was dying for our sins. And so Jesus was forsaken. Now, that brings up an important question, Andrew. Why did Jesus have to die? Well, this is a big question. You know, Jesus said in John that he is the good shepherd, and that as the good shepherd, he laid down his life for the sheep. Let's also look at 1 Peter. Andrew, let's look at 1 Peter. This is a very important passage that talks about what Jesus did for us and why he did it for us. 1 Peter, for to this you have been called. Peter is writing to people who have to go through difficult situations, people who are suffering. It wasn't easy to be a Christian back in that time. And sometimes it's not easy for us to live our lives as young people right now. Peter is writing to people who are going through a difficult time. And this is what he says. Christ also suffered for you, leaving you an example so that you might follow in his steps. Jesus left us an example to follow. He committed no sin, neither was deceit found in his mouth. When he was reviled, he did not revile in return. Did he make fun of the people who were making fun of him? No, he didn't. When he suffered, he did not threaten. He suffered a lot on the cross, but was he saying to those soldiers, "Just wait 3 days, I'm coming for you, you're going to get it, and I'm going to make you pay"? No, Jesus didn't do that. He did not threaten, but continued entrusting himself to him who judges justly. Jesus kept trusting in God. He himself bore our sins in his body on the tree, meaning on the cross, that we might die to sin and live to righteousness. By his wounds, you have been healed. You know what? We are drawn to power in our world. Sometimes we see someone who's really powerful, maybe even like a bully, and people say, oh, I want to follow that guy. He's really powerful. Or maybe even there's the power of those who are victims, who protest injustice. We should listen to them and try to help. But in the suffering of Jesus, we see a different kind of power. Not the power of conquest and domination of others. Not the power of revenge. Not even the power of a victim who's asking people for sympathy. But in Jesus, we see the power of forgiveness. Forgiveness even to one's enemies. The power of grace that is greater than our sin. The power of life that is greater than death. So I'd like to end with a question, something for all of us to think about. Do we know in our hearts that Jesus died for us so that we can have a right relationship with God? It's one thing to, you know ideas about Jesus, but it's another thing to know in our heart that Jesus did all of that for me. And if we do believe it, it should make a difference in our lives. Those who trust in Jesus have a relationship with God. God is changing them on the inside. You know, because of Jesus, we don't have to wonder if we are alone or forsaken by God when we go through those hard times in life. Because Jesus has already gone through that kind of suffering. We can cry out to God and know that He is with us and He will never forsake us. Jesus has already been there, and He has risen victorious. Father, we thank You for this time we've had to look at Jesus, and I pray that we will think in our hearts about what Jesus did for us. Give You thanks and praise in Jesus' name. Amen.